Hey, we're going to continue. Ryan, I'm going to need that in just a second. We're going to continue to look at what the Bible says about being a witness. And today, as we listen to a testimony, it's going to be Barbara's. Barbara, you can come on up here. Barbara's going to read her testimony for us today. And the reason that Barbara's doing this is she came forward last Sunday and she volunteered. But as we looked at her testimony, she came up here one day this week. It was Monday because you shared it with the food pantry. Her testimony was a tad bit too long, and she had to shorten it. And then when she shortened it, she had to choose her words very carefully. And I want you to listen. Miss Barbara, I'm going to move my stuff over, and I'm going to let you put your testimony down there, and I'm going to give you this mic and let you read it. But I want you to listen as Miss Barbara reads her testimony, and then we're going to go back over how we can strengthen ours. All right, Miss Barbara, go ahead, please.
Thank you. First off, I have a cotton mouth. I feel like I swallowed a lot of cotton, and I know it's because I'm up here. Hello, my name is Barbara Martin. Oh, but for the grace of God, as a young child, I was raised in church. I also married young. It was a roller coaster of drinking, fighting, and much verbal abuse. After 21 years of marriage and 3 children later, my one and only thought was, I have got to have peace of mind. So I left. Feeling like a failure, and at the same time as one being released from jail, I went haywire and very much out of control. The whiskey bottle became my crutch and my best friend. I could hide or vent all my emotions through the bottle. Rest assured, in the midst of all the drinking, there were pills, cigarettes, and pot, plus the bar life, too. In the midst of this downward spiral, my dad died in 81. I was devastated. 3 years later, my mother died in 84. This petrified me beyond anything I could think of. My instant, fearful, selfish thought was, oh, I don't have my mother to pray for me anymore. My heart was broken. Monica, my daughter, asked her preacher to come and see me. A couple of weeks later, he and his friend knocked on my door, and I invited them in. They witnessed to me and asked me if I would invite Jesus into my heart. Very broken and contrite, I said yes, and I said the sinner's prayer with them. That very same day, on a Wednesday evening, I wrestled with myself for 2 or 3 hours as to whether I should go to church that evening. I talked to myself, I ranted, I raved, I cried out, oh Lord, if I'm not ready, I'll be struck by lightning. You name it, I said it to myself. Nonetheless, I went to church that evening. Before the preacher could finish his closing prayer, he looked up and there I was. For I realized how spiritually dead and separated from God I was. According to Scripture, I knew that Jesus died and lived a sinless life and died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sins. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead, providing life to all who will place their faith in him. I was baptized that summer of 84. Instantly, I started to see great changes in my life. I had such a craving to learn God's word. I had stopped drinking, and shortly after, I had quit smoking. Everyone seemed to be so extra nice to me. I kept asking myself, how come everyone seems so sweet? As always, a house fell on me, and I began to truly realize it was me who was changing. Wow. Oh, God, thank you. I know Christ has to be the center of my life, and he is. Without him, I am nothing of myself. This has been proven to me time and again. God is faithful. He always provides a way, and one only has to ask, seek, and knock, Matthew 7:7, and he will open that door to you. Would you like to confess your sins to Jesus and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Barbara. Now, what's so amazing about her testimony is how from what it started out on Monday to what it wound up today. And that's what we want to talk about. I trust that you have one of the lessons entitled to week 5 or lesson 5. And I trust that you realize that your testimony is a story about what God has done in your life. And so many people don't realize that God uses your story to bring other people into his kingdom. Now, when we tell our story, there are many reasons to do it. First and foremost, because we have been commanded by Jesus to go out and to be a witness. And we have to realize that God uses all of our stories. I'm not going to necessarily read my testimony again today. I think most people have heard it because I've read it so many times over the last several weeks. But this is what's amazing. My testimony is totally different than Barbara's testimony. Barbara's testimony is totally and completely different than mine. And so if Barbara shares her testimony, what will happen is if she shares that testimony, people will be saved. But my testimony is totally different than hers. But if I share my testimony, guess what's going to happen? People are going to be saved. And what we have to realize is all of our stories are the story that we have. And God has ordained the events in our life so that when we tell that story, he's going to put us in front of people. When they hear it, they're going to recognize, and God is somehow going to use that gospel presentation to bring them to himself. So when we look at this, I want to ask you to open your booklet to page 2. The first thing you see when you're writing your story, he says, what do we say? And this is part 3. And the first thing is honoring your personal story, and you talk about your life before you met Christ. Now, today, we're not going to physically take the time to do that. I'm going to ask you, if you've not already done that, to take the notes, figure out what you need to do, and then write your story. But now today at 4 o'clock, the deacons and the Sunday school teachers are all going to meet in here at 4 o'clock. And when you come, I'm going to ask you to have your story already written out. And it's very important that you do that because it'll speed the process up. And we're going to talk about the very things that we're going to talk about today. So hopefully, as you write your story, it'll give you the clue. Now, the first thing you want to talk about is your life before you met, Jesus. Now, it's very important that you write your story out and time it. And the reason is because it forces you to get to the point. If you would have heard Barbara's testimony on Monday and then heard it today, it was totally different. And what she did was she took ideas and she took concepts and she put them in phrases instead of talking on and on about them. I'm going to give you an example from my own life. If you've heard my testimony, you know there's a phrase in my testimony when I'm talking about I was saved at age 10. And in my testimony, I talk about my life before Christ, and I use this phrase to describe myself. It's any activity, any outside activity that did not involve school. All right? And so, for those of you that are here, you know the story. If you didn't like school, you can totally relate to this. But I could have put this in there. My testimony would have been about 8 minutes long, but I'm going to tell you a true story about me in school. When I was in the seventh grade, by this point at the school I went to, you had a little freedom. And so at that moment, you didn't have to automatically take a music class. And for those of you who love to sing, unfortunately, I didn't fall in that group. And so I'm sitting in study hall, and me and a group of my friends, seventh grade boys, you can get the picture, and the assistant principal, Fred Barnes, comes in and says, "We got a music teacher down here that doesn't have a class," and he gathered up that group of seventh grade boys and took us to music. I was devastated. I was crushed. And he threatened to whip us if we didn't sing. And so she gave us some music, and she started playing the piano. And I don't know, I can't remember because we're talking 45 years ago, but we started screaming to the absolute top of our lungs. Do you hear me? We were screaming. And so this was her first year to teach, and obviously when it's your first year to teach, your seventh graders know a whole lot more about school than you do. I have a friend, his name is Mike Campbell, and there was two pianos in the room. There was a piano that she played, and there was an upright piano that was at the back of the room. And me and Mike Campbell figured out that we could slide that piano out from that wall, and if we got behind that piano when she wasn't looking, she wouldn't know where we were, right? And so one day, me and Mike Campbell are behind the piano, and it was your parents could come to school day. And I distinctly remember on this day my mother telling me that she was busy and she wasn't going to have time to come up to the school. So the first thing I wrote off for that day was that I was going to see my mother. And I'm sitting behind a piano with a friend named Mike Campbell, and I hear a voice that sounds like my mother talking to the teacher. And I hear the teacher say, "He was in here somewhere a while ago, but I don't know where he is." And I had to come out from behind that piano and face my mother. Can we say it didn't go well? Now listen, I could put that in my 3-minute testimony, and it would be as true as the day is long. That really happened. But what you got to realize is the 3-minute testimony is not about me. 3-minute testimony is about Jesus. And so when we talk about our life before Christ, we have to take these things, these concepts, and we have to put them in the simple phrases. And you have to remember that when Barbara started out, her testimony was much longer. And when she took her testimony and she brought it down and brought it down, and she was here Wednesday night and read it, and I could see the look on the faces of the people that were sitting there. And you could tell that her three-minute story is going to be a story that God will use. And what we have to have is we have to have that written out statement. And the reason we write it out is so when you read it, you can find out very quickly, are you talking about yourself? Are you talking about the Lord? But your life before Christ should come to a transition statement. Did you notice how she talked about her life, and then she started talking about how that her daughter's preacher was invited to her house and they came over? Did you see how she transitioned? She brought it right to a point, and when she got to that point, she transitioned to be able to talk about how that she met Christ. If you've ever heard my testimony, I talk about the fact that I, looking back, realized that I had my mother's faith and I had my church's faith, but I didn't have my own faith. And so that's how I make the transition from who I was to what I became. When you look at number two there, number two is how I came to accept Jesus into my heart. And I want to just encourage you here with all that I can. Make sure that when you write your testimony, you use the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And we want to make sure that when we write our testimony, we write it in a way that people know that we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the King of Kings, and we're talking about the Lord of Lords. But it's also very important that you make sure that your gospel presentation, that your testimony contains the gospel presentation. I cannot tell you, I haven't counted them, I haven't written them down, and so I don't have a number, but it's way too many times, and it's from people that have been in Southern Baptist churches their whole life. But I have a very distinct memory of a young lady. She and her husband, our fiancé at that time, were about to be married, and we were doing their little discipleship before they got married, and I asked them to share their testimony with me. And this young lady that probably hadn't missed church 10 times her whole life goes through her testimony and never one time says the name of Jesus. Not one time. And so I finally asked her about it, and I waited till she got through, and I said, you know, I said, did you leave anything out? Was anything like? She said, no, that's about it. And her testimony was this. She was in church, and there was an altar call, and she looked at her mom and said, I'm going to go down to the front. Her mom said, okay, peeled out of the aisle, came down. Boom, her mind, that was salvation. And I finally said to her, I said, you know, when you just shared your testimony, you never one time even mentioned Jesus. And I said, you know, you can't be saved without Jesus. And I'll never forget. Girl probably hadn't missed church. I said, it's already 10 times her whole life. Looked at me and said, I'll be fine. And I said, oh, no, you won't. And that's the way we left it. Listen, there's no other name given under heaven by which men must be saved. And if our faith is in Jesus, then we need to talk about Jesus. And when you write your testimony, you may be like me. I was saved when I was 10. I had no earthly idea as a 10-year-old what I had done. But I can tell you this. I can tell you what I believe now and what I know now to be true, and I can put it in my testimony. A lot of people use John 3:16. Let's just do a quick show of hands. How many people in here would say that John 3:16 is their favorite verse in the Bible? Show of hands. Yeah, there are a lot of people in here would say, John 3:16, that's my favorite verse. You know, if when you write your testimony, you can say, as long as it's true, you can say, you know, the Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, you can just write that out. And that can be your gospel testimony. And you can talk about, you know, that whosoever will. Hey, I'm that person. I have placed my faith in Jesus. I believe that God sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And when you do that, you're able to use that verse to share the gospel. If you look at the screen here, this is 1 Corinthians 15, and this is chapter 1, verse 1 and 3 and 4. And when you look up there at the screen, it says, now, brethren, I want to remind you of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scripture. Listen, you can use that in your testimony. You can write that in and know that when you talk about how you were saved, when you talk about how you met Jesus, you put that in there, and that will be the gospel, and it will be in your testimony. But you have to be able to say you believe it. You can't just put it in there because I'm telling you, but you would be able to use that, and you would have a gospel presentation in your testimony. The next one is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." And when you put that in there, it will give you an opportunity to write out what you believe. It'll give you an opportunity to talk about what you believe about salvation. For me personally, my favorite verse about salvation is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. And the verse just simply says, "In him, meaning Christ Jesus, we have redemption through his blood." And that word today we would use as life. And it says that through him we are redeemed. And that word is a word that's used to talk about a slave that was on a block that was being sold, and how that the person that bought that slave would pay that debt and redeem them. Well, that is exactly what Jesus did for me. Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. He redeemed me from a debt that I owed, and he freed me from sin, and now I am a follower of his. And when we talk about that, we have to realize it's a great opportunity just to tell people what we believe about what the Bible says about salvation. For each person, it's going to be slightly different, but at the end of the day, the salvation experience will still be the same. And we have to remember that every person, from Adam and Eve to whoever the last, every person that's ever been saved has been saved through faith in Jesus. You see, as soon as sin entered the world, as soon as Adam and Eve sinned, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God said, "I will," and he was putting an enmity. He said, "I'm going to do something about sin." And so from the time sin entered the world, people had believed that God was going to do something. They looked forward to the time when he would, and he did at Calvary, and we look back to that same event. So everybody's testimony is going to have the same gospel presentation in it. You look at the third thing, it's life since Jesus came in. We need to make sure that when we talk about our life since Christ, that we talk about and give evidence of the fact that we know that the gospel is true. We know that Jesus has saved us, the difference that Jesus has made in our life. And I think it's very important that we give examples of things that we've learned as the gospel is lived out every day. One of the things that I say in my testimony that's very true, that is that when you get saved, you don't become perfect. As a matter of fact, when you get saved, what you become is aware of your sins. You realize the things that you do are wrong, and you realize that those things are against God. Now, when you turn over to page 3, this starts to talk about openings to share your testimony. Now, let's do a quick show of hands. I like show of hands. I like audience participation. I want to ask you, how many people in here would say it's very difficult to transition into a gospel presentation? In other words, you go over to somebody, you're talking to them, but it's very difficult to get the subject away from whatever you're talking about and be able to get it onto the gospel. How many people ever experienced that? Sometimes it can be extremely difficult, especially when you're talking to people that like to talk as much as I do. But under number one, it's listen for people sharing experiences like yours. Now, right now, if you were really interested in writing your testimony and really interested in going out and sharing it, you would have the easiest excuse. You'd have the easiest excuse because you could write out your 3-minute story, you could put the gospel in that dude, you get it right, you get it according to Scripture, and you could go up to anybody you wanted to and say, "You know, there's this guy at church. I mean, this is like the 5th week. It's pretty obvious he's not going to stop talking about it." And he just keeps encouraging us over and over and over and over to share our testimony with somebody. And I got my testimony written out here. Would you mind if I read that to you? Do you know what the majority of the people are going to say? They're going to say, "Oh, go ahead." You know. And then they'll probably follow it up, "Oh, glad I don't go to that church." But nevertheless, they'll let you read your testimony. But you can blame me. You know, you can say, "Huh." And you know, we live in a time when listening is a lost art. But when people are talking about their experience, listen for words like divorce, if you've ever been through one. Listen for words about, like, they hate their job, aging parents, anything that a person is talking about that you can relate to. If God lays it on your heart, that's an opportunity to share Christ with them. Because everybody faces basically the same obstacles. When you look at number two there, it's listen for people sharing emotions like yours. You know, there are so many people that deal with depression, fear, hurt, anger, loneliness, all of these things. And when you hear people talking about these things, when you know that you can relate to them, it's very easy to share with them. It's very easy to engage them in a conversation where they are. And what we have to remember is that all of us at various times in different ways are going to be dealing with different emotions. And so what we have to do is we have to be listening so that we can hear what people say. There was a song, I heard it on the way to church this morning. But so many times when we hear people talk about pain, we hear them talk about sorrow, we hear them talk about hurt, we hear them talk about anger and loneliness, and we know that it's real. But I was listening to the radio this morning. I was driving to church, and there was a line in a song that said, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal." You know, if we believe that, if I believe that, I may not be currently in a state of depression, but I guarantee you I'm going to meet some people that are. And I may not be in a state of fear at this moment, but there are people that are. And you know, when you hear somebody express an emotion like that, isn't it great to be able to say with honesty and to be able to say with certainty that heaven has no sorrow, that heaven can't heal? What an opportunity to share your faith. Even if you're not currently going through it, what an opportunity to reach out to someone with the good news of the gospel. Well, the third thing is look for opportunity in current events. How many of us have said recently, this is just a show of hands, I'm going to go ahead and raise mine. How many of us have said recently, I believe Jesus could come back any day? Come on, well, that's almost everybody. I'm sure it's not everybody, but it's almost everybody. Listen, if you believe that, that is your opening for the gospel. If you really believe that, you can share the gospel with anybody, anytime, anywhere, because it starts with something like this. I am truly, based on the biblical accounts of the end times, convinced that Jesus could come back before I finish this conversation. So I want to share my testimony with you in 3 minutes. Right? Because I want to tell you something. And I mean this, and I'm talking about myself. But if that's not how we would approach the situation, then we really don't believe Jesus is about to come back. Right? Because if we really believed it, we'd live like it. Oh, we might think it, but we don't really believe it. I heard something on the radio this week, and it caused me to start doing some research. And I want to stand here, and what I'm about to tell you is based on several different sources, but no one knows for sure when this is going to happen. The only debate is the when. The debate is not if. All right? So, when the Bible talks about looking for opportunities in current events, do you know what, in America today, the fastest growing religion in America today is? Anybody want to say it? Fastest growing religion in America today is Islam. Islam. And what's amazing is you can look on the internet. I couldn't find anybody that picked a specific day. I don't want to stand here and tell an untruth in any way, and I want to be as honest with you as I can. But most people agree that by the start of the next century, America will be a Muslim country. There's no doubt about it. If they continue to grow and we continue to decline, America will be a Muslim country. Now, think about this. That means that when my children have children, and their children have children, and their children have children, they'll be born into a Muslim country. Folks, we better get our testimony written, and we better get out there. Listen, it is going to happen. You go to any of those countries, you look at a map, any of those countries across there, where if we stood up and said the name of Jesus, they would kill us instantly. Not very many centuries ago, those were Christian nations. Those were Christian nations. Those weren't Muslim countries. The Muslim faith didn't come along until, I think, in the 700s. First hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, those were Christian countries. Some of the greatest artifacts of the Christian faith are in Muslim countries. And we are so naive that we believe that it's not going to happen here, when statistically it's already happening. And it's happening very, very quickly while we sit in here and refuse to even write our testimony. We sit in here and refuse to go and share it with somebody. And we have to realize that if the current events of what is happening today does not motivate us to put Christ Jesus first in our life and start living like it, nothing will. Nothing will. And what we need to do is, we need to say to our children, tell your children this, and tell them to tell their children this. We could have stopped this, but we just like to play church. We could have done something about this. You didn't have to be Muslim, but you're probably going to be. And it's because I was way too saved to write my testimony. I was way too saved to tell anybody about Jesus. That's exactly what happened in all of those Muslim countries today. At one time, they were Christian countries. One time, they were Christian nations. All the things were Old Testament. Read it. Find a map. Translate. And you'll see those things are right in the middle of where the move of God started first. Now, what are we going to do? I hope what we'll do is we'll stop playing church and we'll start doing what God has called us to do. The fourth thing there is make leading statements. Do you know it is so easy to make leading statements? You know, here's some of my personal favorites. What is the greatest decision you've ever made? Now, you know if I ask you that, what you better say, don't you? Huh? Because you know what I'm going to say, no matter what you say, right? Man, here's another one. You sure have a lot of stuff, but tell me about your treasure in heaven. You know, it's a good one, isn't it? Because we all got a lot of stuff. Who's the most important person in your life? Do you believe that America can continue like this? And when you make those statements, it automatically puts the conversation on spiritual terms. It automatically, they're going to respond back some way. And when they do, it's going to give you an opportunity to share with them, to talk to them, to be able to tell them what you believe. See, one of the things that you and I have to realize, if we're going to go out and we're going to literally be a witness, every believer is going to be a witness, we have to realize that most of the people that we come in contact with, they're not thinking about eternity. You know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about school starting back. They're thinking about paying their bills. They're thinking about aging parents. They're thinking about all of these things in life. And when you engage them of what they're thinking about, when you engage them in their story, if you look for an opening, you'll be able to find one to share with them. Remember in John chapter 4, what Jesus did? Jesus goes to the well, been walking all day. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Jesus sends the disciples into town to buy food, and here comes a woman out to the well. And what did Jesus do? He just simply asked her for a drink of water. And by asking her for a drink of water, what did he eventually do? He shared the gospel with her. And he took where she was and interacted with her, and he kept on until finally not only was she saved, but then she goes back in the village to get everybody that's in there, and she wants them to see this man that knew everything about her, and she brings the people out to meet Jesus so that he could talk to them. And what we have to realize every day is God works through people. You know, when we started this and back in week one, and it talked about how God could send everybody an email and God could send an angel and just on and on about the way that the gospel could be shared. But you know what's amazing? God allows us to do it. And it's a privilege to be able to tell people about Jesus. All right, look over to page 4. This is 3 tips on witnessing. The first one is, it's different sharing your testimony in a one-time meeting than with regular friends and acquaintances. Look at the verse over here to the left, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. It says, live wisely among those who are not Christians and make the most of every opportunity. Now, what we have to do is we have to realize that there are people that come into our lives every day, and if we will listen, God will lay it on our heart that we need to share with them. And when we do, we need to be looking for opportunities to be able to talk to a person that we don't know about Jesus. We need to be willing to share with them. Now, I've got some really good news. I'm talking about some really good news about sharing Jesus. The last time I was up here and I talked about an idea that hadn't done anything with, it was going to be a $500 gift card, and we're going to share a 3-minute story. Well, God's greater than that. And the good thing about it is, through Children Evangelism Fellowship, we're going to get to take a group of people from our church to the fair and share Jesus with children. Last year, they had 800 kids profess faith at the fair. So you thought people just went there to get drunk, have a good time, go on rides, and then throw up, right? No. People get saved at the fair, right? And we're going to have an opportunity to be there and to be a part of it, but you got to write your story. Right? And so that's for the children. And what I was told, I hadn't had my official meeting, but what I was told was, while the children are doing, it's a wordless coloring book. That's what Children's Evangelism Fellowship uses. You don't even have to talk. You color the wordless coloring book. It leads them to faith in Christ. All you have to do is talk to them. While the parents are standing there watching their kids color in the book, you know what we're going to be doing? Hey, can I tell you a 3-minute story about how Jesus changed my life? And we're not only going to believe God that we're going to see some children saved, we're going to believe God we're going to see some adults saved. And we're going to get out there and we're going to do it. Now, I would much prefer that y'all go with me. I don't want to have to go by myself. All right? And I tell y'all this with confidence. So write your story and go and share it. And remember, you may not have ever had the evangelist story, you know, with the bad stuff in your life, but that's something to praise God for. You know, if you never had all the problems that the evangelists that go around and speak in churches have, I think that's the reason to praise the Lord. All right? So the next thing is, when you look for opportunities, you got to realize that there are times when you have a golden opportunity. I've realized that the man that works on my washing machine, my dryer, whatever that dude works on, you know, you can't pick one of them things up and walk off. And so they always work on it right there. And you know what I've discovered? That is a great time to talk to somebody about Jesus. You ever notice that? When I was in the landscaping business, if I ever caught a painter on a ladder, you know, if you get to the bottom and put your foot on it like that, he can't get down. You know, as long as you're standing at the bottom of the ladder, he can't get down. And man, you can really have a great opportunity to share Jesus with somebody. And we have to look for those. Also, you have to realize a restaurant is a great place to serve. I mean, a great place to share with your waitress as she comes and goes. And what we have to realize is the reason that a 3-minute testimony is so important, there are people that you're going to meet in your life, you're only going to see them one time. That's all you're going to see them. That's your opportunity. You're going to have to take that opportunity, and you're going to have to do with it what you can at that moment. And so you want to make sure that you give them a gospel presentation in your testimony. But now there's other people that you're going to have a time to just be able to sit down and talk with them. Last night, had an opportunity to just sit down, and we just talked. So I didn't have to give a 3-minute testimony. I was talking to someone that's away from the Lord, but was able to say, you know, this person goes back and forth about science and all this stuff, and I was able to say to them, you know, when you're in third grade, you learn your multiplication table. And when you learn your multiplication table, the easiest one to learn is the zeros, right? Why are zeros the easiest ones to learn? Right? Come on. Some of y'all had to pay attention in school more than I did. I hid behind a piano and I know the answer to this. Right? Right? Because everybody knows that nothing times anything is nothing. Right? Right? And I was able to say, listen, I can't help it because you go to a college where the science teacher didn't take math. Right? That's not my problem. But you're going to have to agree with what you know that's true in math, or you're going to have to agree with what somebody thinks in science. Now you choose. Right? And when you have that opportunity, just sit down and talk to somebody. You can do all that stuff. You can go on and on through your story and about the things you've learned and the mistakes that you've made and the things that you've seen happen. But there's other times when, man, you got that window right there to give them the gospel. And when you give it to them, you give it to them knowing that you may just be planting a seed. When I went to the original course about this, it was back in February and was up here at Brandon Baptist Church. And just before that, this was in February, and we were going to Haiti right on the 1st of March. And I mean, if you have a garden, you're going to know what I'm talking about. I mean, I had a mile where I was going to plant my corn and my potatoes. The ground was perfect. You hear me? I mean, it wasn't a dirt clod in it. I mean, we had had about a week of dry weather. I mean, I'd been out there with my little disc that y'all gave me, by the way. Thank y'all. And, I mean, the ground was perfect. And, you know, you're looking at it and you're thinking, man, I need to plant that. And it's like, no, I think I'll wait. No, I should plant that. No, I think I'll wait. Decided to wait. And by the time we went to this course, or I went to this course up there, it had started raining. It was about 35 degrees. And my little garden spot that was so perfect was just a wet, cold mud hole. You know what I'm talking about? And it would have been utterly foolish for me to grab my bucket and tell my wife, I'm going out to that wet, cold mud hole and get some corn. Because you know why? There ain't been no corn planted out there. And when we pray for a harvest, you know, and the Bible tells us, Jesus said there is one. Well, there is a harvest, but you got to plant seeds to have harvest. You see, we have the seed, and we won't plant it. And the seed is our testimony. And we won't share our testimony with people knowing that that person at that moment may or may not get saved. But listen, remember this. Our responsibility is not to save anybody. Our responsibility is to tell everybody. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's look at the next one. Next one is expect mixed results. Look at the verse in Acts 17. It said they heard about the resurrection of the dead. Some sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again. And a few believed. Isn't that amazing? You know, we think in the book of Acts, if somebody said something, 5,000 people got saved. Well, this says, some sneered. Others wanted to hear again, but a few believed. Listen, when we have opportunity to share our faith, when we get caught up in the numbers, we're going to automatically be discouraged and we're going to quit. Amen? It's not about how many people get saved. You see, the week before, up here at the food pantry, I had an opportunity to share faith. The guy gets gloriously, wonderfully saved. This past week, lady comes up for the food pantry. I shared with her. I mean, you could tell she was well-educated. You could tell she was smart. You know, I was very much expecting her to say that I'm a Christian, and I read my testimony, and I got to the end, and I asked that question, just like Miss Barbara asked, and she looked at me and said, I did not come from a religious family, and I have no interest in what you're talking about. Boom. Boom. Went over, guy's dying, laying in a hospice bed. Not saved. I asked him, read my testimony to him, asked him the same question. He said, oh, I did that 3 or 4 months ago with a sneer. And I said, you did? And I said, what changed? And he said, nothing. And I said, wow. I said, it seemed to me if you put something alive inside of something dead, it'd be a difference. And he said, I think it would. I talked to him about the gospel. Not interested. Not interested. I said, you know, I said, what would you do if somebody came in this room right now and said, let me have that cancer. Let me have the little few weeks or days or months of life that you got left. And I'm going to take all that's wrong with you and I'm going to put it on me, and I'm going to let you get up and go out of here and live your life however you want to do. Man, how excited would that make you? And he was like, man, that'd be awesome. That'd be great. And I said, brother, that's exactly what Jesus, in a spiritual sense, did for you. Absolutely. And that joker did not get saved. Did not. But I want to tell you something. The week before, when I shared and somebody did get saved, and last week when I shared and nobody got saved, which week was more successful? The answer is neither. Because in both instances, I did what I was supposed to do. See, we get hung up on what somebody else does. And we get our success by the decision that another person makes, and that's not of God. Because God has commanded us to tell. God has commanded us to show. God has commanded us to live. But only He can save. Remember the verse? Some plant, some water, but it's God that brings the increase. We can't make it grow. We have to trust Him that if we plant it, God's going to grow it. Number three, this is a good one, especially on high attendance day. Remember, inviting people to church is good, but it's not going. Right? Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples. Our goal is not to invite people to church. Our goal is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with people, see them grow, see them become mature in their faith, which is part of the work of the church, but to see them grow and to see them become the people that Jesus wants them to be. Knowing that when a person gets saved, we have no earthly idea what God is going to do in that person's life. We don't know how God's going to move. We don't know how God's going to use them. We don't know what God is going to do. And it's not our part to judge. It's our part to plant. And so what we do is we make the commitment that we're going to tell people the truth, and we're going to trust God that they will be matured, they will be equipped, they will be discipled by the church, and that they will be on their way. Now, I want you to look at the other insert that was in the bulletin. The other insert is week one. Did you see this? Y'all see this sheet here? The reason this sheet is in here is because I don't know how many of you have come up to me through the last month, and I don't want to pick a number because I try to be as truthful as I can, but many of you have come up to me and said, you know, I finished week one, but you never put your name on the list. And what I want you to realize is that we're never going to do and be what God wants us to do, and we're never going to be what God wants us to be until we realize that the way we live our lives matters. Now, I want to say, when you look at this week one sheet, you can see my name is on there. It's here alphabetically. I'm Jeff Walker, if I didn't introduce myself. They're on there. My name's on there. Now, I want to tell you the before Jesus truth. Did I need to read week one and do a 30-day Bible reading for my own personal spiritual development? The answer is no, I did not. I'm not bragging. But that is Christianity 101 level A. It's the very beginnings of the Christian faith. And so I hope you're wondering, well, if you didn't need to do it, why did you do it? I did it for people who are not saved. I did it for people who have never heard the gospel. I did it so when that guy that was able to witness to it at the food pantry, believe you me, he left here carrying a week one. Because I told him, I said, listen, we're not here just to tell you. We're here to disciple you. That's what Jesus told us to do. And when he went back down that sidewalk, he did have the groceries, but he also had a week one in his hand. And so I want to encourage you. There's a list right back there. I want to encourage you, if you know you've done it, to go ahead and sign up. And you may say, I'm not one of those people. I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but I really don't like my name written down. And I get that. I really appreciate it. Humility is a virtue. But this is not for yourself. This is for other people. And so I want to encourage you, if you've done it, to put your name on the list. Now, guess what else? Who else I want to encourage? If your name is not on the list, I want you, as an act of faith of all the people that will come behind you, I want you to get one of those week ones off the table back there, and I want you to put your name on the list that you're in the process of doing it. And I want you to start through that process. And what you're going to find out is you're going to be blessed. And then when people are saved, you will be a testimony that our church is doing that. All right. So look down here at what it says for this week. This week, what you're asked to do is you're asked to share your story with two people. Now, I know that when I asked for a show of hands last time, didn't go very well, but that's okay. A lot of you came up to me after church and shared with me about what you had done, and that's awesome. But one of the things I want to encourage us to do is remember that when we're sharing our faith, it's not just about sharing our faith and about my life today. It's about the lives of those that are going to come after us. And so I want you to really take stock of your own life. And I want you to just ask yourself two basic questions. One is, who do you love enough to tell? I mean, who do you care so much about that you want to share your story with them? And then the other question is, who do you really not care about? You know, who is it that you say, you know? Because if we're either going to tell them, are we not going to tell them? But the truth is, everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere. Now listen, I want to tell you as we go into the invitation, I want to tell you the truth from the bottom of my heart. The truth is that there's a God in heaven who loves you. There's a truth. The truth is that there's a God in heaven that cares about you. And there, the truth is that because we're all sinners, we owe a debt against him that we can't pay. And we've got to make a decision. Either we've got to think like this young lady did that I shared with this week, and she talked about how her and her husband were going to serve the community, and they were going to work with this organization, and they were going to do this, and they were going to do that. And it was very obvious by talking to her that she thought that if she did those things, whatever happened would be fine. But you know what? The truth of the matter is that's not true. The truth of the matter is every person in this room owes a debt that we can't pay. Every person in this room is like that man. We're in that hospice bed and we're eating up with cancer and we're just about to go. We just don't realize it because we think, oh, I'm only 12 or oh, I'm only 6. But man, I'll be 53 next month. Just like that. Happens quick. And so what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves, first and foremost, have I ever surrendered my life to Jesus Christ? Oh, I'm not asking you if you believe. You wouldn't be at church unless somebody drug you up here by the hair of the head. You know, you wouldn't be up here if you didn't believe that there's a God. But my question is, do you believe personally? Is he your God? Can you honestly sit here today and say, my faith is in Jesus? My faith is in Jesus. Because you know how we got to the point that by the time the youngest people in here, if they live to a normal age, are going to live to see our country become a Muslim country? You know how it got to that point? Because church is filled with people that say they believe but don't live like it. And in our Sunday school class, we've been going through the book of James, and I know that that's different for everybody, but we just did Abraham. And you know what James said about Abraham? He said, faith without works is dead. And he used Abraham as an example. And so I want to encourage you today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, realize that there's a price to be paid. And that's not just a price that we'll pay, but all those that come after us. Father God, as we bow before you today, God, it's our desire, Lord, to be right with you. And God, that righteousness starts at the cross. And so, God, I pray if there's any person in here today that's never been saved, they have no earthly idea what it means to be forgiven. They have no earthly idea what it means to be free. They have no earthly idea what it means to serve you. God, I pray that you would speak to their hearts today. And God, I also pray that when you speak to their hearts, God, I pray that they'll respond. And Lord, I pray that they'll realize that if you're talking to their heart, it's because you want to do a work in their life. And I pray that they would surrender their hearts and lives to you. But God, for the rest of us that we can honestly give a testimony and we can honestly say without any doubt that we're saved, God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to remember, Lord, that we are part of the problem. We have made the decision that we are going to be saved and not tell anybody. And Lord, the world is changing around us. America is changing around us. Rankin County is changing around us. And God, I pray that we would make the decision that we're going to write our testimony and we're going to go share it and we're going to keep on sharing it. And we're going to share it until every person that is in the under the influence of our life knows the truth. And God, if we will do that, Lord, it would start a movement and it would move outwardly from here. And Lord, there's no way that you could possibly be through with America because you call us to repentance. But God, if we won't repent, we will get what we deserve. And not a single person in this room is going to like it. And so, God, I pray that while we still have a chance and while there's still hope, I pray that we would choose you. And it's in the blessed and holy name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen.